never really prepare any particular message for these times around the Lord's table. And it's because I like for us, as we consider the bread and the wine, to have the Spirit be the one to teach us. Yes, it's based on His Word that we do this. This is not just some ritual that we're going through or in any way tacked on to our time of worship. It's a continuation of our time of worship, but it is founded in Scripture. And there are a number of scriptures each time as I look to the Lord to which one we should read and consider that He direct. And here particularly, He's directed me to Matthew chapter 26, and particularly verses 26 down to verse 30. It says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread." Well, what were they eating? They were eating the final Passover, that Passover supper that had been instructed all the way back when He first delivered them from Egypt. That would have been about 1,500 before Christ, 1,500 years before Christ. Here we are in 2023. Amazing that what we are about here is what Christ instituted when He came to this earth, but He didn't build on the Passover. We're not here celebrating that old Passover meal. Why? Because Christ came to fulfill it. And that's really what we see here, that as they were eating that Passover meal at that Passover time, on the eve of the Passover, when the Passover lamb was to be slain, that Jesus took bread and blessed it. What kind of bread was it on that old Passover feast? It was unleavened bread. It's like what we have here in my hand. It's not your typical bread that you find on the grocery store shelf that's got the leaven in it, and people like nice bread that tastes good, soft, and rises and all that. That's not what this is about. The fact that it is unleavened is a reference to being without sin. And that's who Christ was. It was necessary that in that flesh He be without sin. And that's why this specific bread is ordained, that it be without leaven. So He took that bread, which had already been part of the Passover meal, and blessed it. This isn't just like some people think you have to do every time when you sit down to eat, got to bow our head and pray, ask the Lord bless it. You can partake and enjoy it, but here, specifically, the Lord was blessing it, putting His blessing upon it as something new, that no longer would it just represent the old covenant, Passover, because that couldn't put away sin, but He was blessing it in what it represented in the new covenant that He was about to establish in His death. And He broke it. Here we've already broken it ahead of time and passed it, but He gave it to His disciples and said, and notice He didn't say, "Now be careful, don't be partaking here unless you've got everything just right." There's some people that look at it that way. Ooh. He said what? "Take, eat. This is My body." How is it that we as sinners can even partake and eat? Because that's why He came. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came in the world to what? Save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Paul said, "Take heed that you don't eat or drink unworthily." What he is meaning is thinking yourself worthy. You know, anybody that thinks himself worthy is really partaking unworthily. Okay, let me think back over my week here. How did I live? How did I think? How did I act? Okay, I'm ready now. I can, no. If you look back on your week and see anything but putrid, vile thoughts and sin, then lay this down, because you would be eating and drinking unworthily. There's only one that's worthy. That's Christ. And that's who this bread represents. That's his blood. This is his table that we've come to celebrate. This is my body, he said. Now, we know it's not doesn't become his body. There are those that treat it that way, like an idol. In fact, they won't even let you hold it in your hand in case you drop it. Ooh, don't want to drop Jesus. That's not what he means when he says, this is my body. It represents his body. It's like a picture. But then he says, then he took the cup. You see, there's two elements whereby we celebrate the Lord's table. There were a lot of other elements on that old Passover table. There was the roast lamb. There were the bitter herbs that were part of it. And then there was the bread, and then there was the wine. Where's the lamb? That's Christ. He's the lamb slain. Where are the bitter herbs? Done away. Because he put away the sin in his body unto death. So what remains? Just to remember his body. That in a real body, sinless, he offered himself unto his Father, but it also required what? Bloodshed. That's what this wine represents. He took the cup. And here it says, gave thanks. It's the same as saying he blessed it. You stop and think about it. We're on the eve of his death, his crucifixion, and yet he's giving thanks to his Father for what he was about to do and what this cup represented. For the disciples, it was just a matter of passing the cup and letting them drink it and remember. But he was the one who was actually to lay down his life and shed his blood unto death in a very few hours. That's why he said, drink ye all of it. That as you do, remember whose blood was shed. That's where our minds and hearts need to be, on who he is as God in the flesh. That's what this unleavened bread represents, but also the required shed blood unto death. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Now, this bread can't give you life, nor this cup. Can't give you life. You can put this on the mouth of a dead man and he'll be just as dead as when he began. But it's who it represents. And he says that in verse 28. This is my blood. Just like he said, this is my body. This is my blood of the New Testament. That's what he was instituting, the new covenant, which is shed for many. And in the Greek, it's actually the many. Hear that, that means a specific people. Well, we know who that is. That's who those the Father gave him. And it says, for the remission of sins. Without the shedding of his blood, there was no remission of sins. In the Old Testament, that Passover lamb, God passed over their sin. That's what it represented. But when Christ shed his blood, it was for the remission of sins. So complete was the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, that when he had finished that work and cried, it is finished, it is finished. There is no sin that God holds to the account of anyone for whom Christ paid the debt. That's good news. But that's what we're remembering, even now as we gather around this table. Again, it's not just some ritual that we're about, but it is a remembrance. The thing is, you can't remember somebody you've never known. But once they've made themselves known to them, then you do remember them. And this is what the Lord has given us, to remember him. We've had his word. I'm thankful for it, the preaching. But now in these emblems to remember him. So let's thank him, and then we'll partake. Gracious Father, thank you for this word. I thank you that your Son came and fulfilled all that was required, that you might be the just God and Savior. Now, he's given us these elements whereby we gather about this table to remember him, remember his death, and his shed blood, that body that was offered unto you, and by which you found satisfaction, complete satisfaction. We know that because the third day you raised him again, and he's ascended on high where he ever lives to intercede on behalf of such as we are. how grateful we are. I pray that you'd give us that gratefulness as we consider him and give you the praise and honor and glory in his precious name.